welcome to a very special episode of Truth and Reconciliation. It's the Pellwood Fantasy Football League podcast. He's Peter Elwood, but he ain't here, and that's Michael Franca. I'm
Hello,
Seth Martin.
Suckers.
It's great to have you with us. Franca, hats off to you, sir.
And you.
Well, thank you very much. It's good to be here.
What a journey.
What a road. What an epic saga. I was thinking about the arc of the hero's journey, you show up with all the expectation, you're let down, you're condemned in some way, shape, or form. There's a punishment of sorts, whether inhibited or not, and then a journey through growth, resulting in the opportunity of redemption through conquering, and through that process, a changed man that is restored to glory and to victory. And I can't help but feel like I have been on such a quest. How about yourself?
I can't follow up that word salad. I think I need some dressing there to go with that.
I'm just streaming ChatGPT right now, but
yeah.
I don't do my own content anymore. 2 years ago.
Yeah. No, what a season. I was so happy with my team right off the bat after the draft. And
do you remember, Franca,
things started falling apart and then they didn't?
This was a welcome to the league kind of situation for you. It had been a long time coming. And you went with a name change that, midseason that... preseason that really altered the scope of what you were thinking about this year. Not to show all your cards going into the draft or anything like that. So tell me now, on the precipice of the playoffs, did you genuinely think you'd be here?
No. Not 3 weeks ago.
Me neither.
I was doing pretty good.
Well, sure. Okay, do you remember what Peter and I graded you coming out of the draft?
I don't remember that. And to be honest, I don't know that I got all the way through the first podcast. Shame on me.
I don't know if I would admit that on the air with the producer of TNR, who used to be your friend.
What did you grade me? Do you have that?
No, I thought I did. I'm going to pull it up. But I want you to tell me like your pre-draft and post-draft thoughts, because I want to contrast like the final week of the regular season to that.
Sure. Well, let me pull up my team here. So post-draft, I was feeling really good about my running back room. I had Saquon and Kyren Williams.
Right.
And Kyren Williams obviously had a little bit of a rep as a, 2 or 3 yard touchdown guy, a red zone guy. But I was really pleased with him throughout the year. I think he had a really good year. And I had Saquon, and the risk with him, obviously, is injury, and could he follow up what he did last year? And while he stayed healthy, he didn't exactly follow up what he did last year, but still a really serviceable running back. I was really happy with Joe Burrow for, 2 weeks, I think, before he got turf toe?
Something like that.
Level 3, I think it was. He had to have surgery. So I was happy with that. My wide receivers, I felt really good about JSN and Mike Evans. After that, it fell off pretty quickly with Jacoby Myers, Romeo Doubs, Adam Thielen.
Yeah.
Who I think is living in a retirement facility with Phillip Rivers at this point. Tyler Lockett.
Just waiting on his moment,
That's right.
Philip Rivers left him hanging at the domino table, and he's waiting on his phone call.
It fell off quick.
Yeah.
Other running backs, Tyrone Tracy, I felt good about, and I picked up Scataboo, his handcuff at the time of the draft, and how those roles would flip a couple weeks in was crazy before Scataboo got hurt. Paid $5 for each of them, which I feel like in hindsight was pretty good value.
Sure.
Tight end was probably my biggest hole with Travis Kelce, who played rather uninspired for a lot of the year. And Old Man Ertz, who is kind of my favorite player in the NFL.
A whole cheat sheet for you.
All he does is produce until he doesn't. He's also hurt. So, yeah, after the draft, I was feeling really good. And I'm looking at this now. I picked up the San Francisco defense in the draft, which fittingly is how I finished, I guess, the semifinals last night with the San Francisco draft. Yeah, I've been streaming them all year. But that was good. And, of course, my secret weapon, Younghoekwe, who a few weeks ago forgot how to kick after he was traded to a different team. Of course, beginning the year with the Falcons.
He's like, I figured it out.
The Giants.
It's Giants, like a 7-iron. You got to drive down on the ball. Earth first.
He dug his toe into the field.
So hard.
And hasn't made an attempt since. So, but your question was, how did I feel after the draft? I felt pretty good after the draft.
Pretty
I
sure
was a little
like,
bit
like
studsy and dudsy.
He pulled a pectoral muscle. He kicked the ground so hard.
He got a concussion somehow. I'm not sure how it works.
Just
yeah. But no, it felt good. I mean, I'm looking at your draft too. Uh-huh. And I think that you had some really impressive pieces to start off the year as well.
I legitimately felt great about my draft. I did not give myself, I know I gave myself an A, but I did not give myself an A out of pure vanity. Obviously, the bias is probably going to let her up more often than not. I think Peter gave me a B. Now Fantasy Pros, I don't think was very high on me. I think I was 10 or a 9. They really value positional, like it's impossible to be top ranked unless you have like the starting two running backs and top 10 wides in all three starting positions. It's ridiculous, but I legitimately felt good about my draft and was excited about who I'd picked up, how I managed my budget and what I ended up with from a studs and duds approach. I really did, but, I definitely had to coast on it.
We were talking before you hit record here. You kept Chase Brown for $8, which was a great buy. And then right off the bat, Jahmyr Gibbs, $61. And all of a sudden, you're down to about half your money.
Yeah, that's right.
For two players. Little did we know that Kyle Pitts would turn into what we all thought he could be eventually throughout the season.
I did not. I do too. And I did not like, you remember, I picked up a couple of tight ends in the draft, just kind of edging. I just went scattershot, thinking that, okay, I'm not going to get a top five. So I better try to, you know, nab one that is either trade worthy or, you know, average at best. That's all I was trying to go for. Cause the tight end position is after, you know, the three hole is so scattershot. It really is. So that was pure luck. Let's be totally clear.
You'll remember my freshman season team name, Pits and Giggles.
I do remember.
It was my guy. And I've had him in multiple leagues for multiple years and all he's done is disappoint me. And then at the end of this year, he was unstoppable. I think he had a 50-point game this year. And where was he that week?
That week?
In your lineup?
Well, 5 minutes before the game, he was charged and ready to go on my line, in my starting position. Sure. And but 3 minutes before it started, I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. What a bad idea.
Fool me once.
What a bad idea.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Definitely, I don't know if there is a league history-wise, this would be a fun stat to actually pull if we had such aggregations. Is there a worse start, sit, like pull? Like he was on your bench and, you know, if especially like if you divided by the number of seconds prior to kickoff, like is there a worse stat that is more costly than that decision that I made? That is so bad.
But that was tough, but you overcame it. Here you are.
It worked out.
Championship week.
It worked out for me.
Championship week. But that being said, I mean, looking at where you started and where you're ending up, how do you feel about your team now? What do you think you did well in the draft? What do you wish you would have done differently?
In the draft, I knew I wanted Gibbs. I did not know if everybody would want Gibbs. I knew he'd be in demand. I didn't realize that it was going to be a free-for-all. I thought he was going to be later in the draft and therefore a little cheaper. I didn't think he was going to be top three running back costs. Like I really didn't. And so that was the only bummer is that he came out so quick and early and my effort to, you know, save a little bit of money early on was kind of moot. So it really did turn into a studs and duds, which is totally doable, but you have to, man, it makes the drafting hard because you have no wiggle room at all. You've got dollars gone, and therefore you better hope your targets sit until they're available, and you just have to hope that your league mates will drain the economy of cash flow real fast so that you're actually competitive towards the middle end of the draft. So, and I think that's what happened, because at the end of the day, I ended up with studs in every position, leveraging a keeper and in my wide slot, but then, you know, getting one of the best quarterbacks of the season until he's not, you know, in a certain two games of the year. He's allowed two mullies, I guess. And nailing the, nope, phrasing, netting the one of the top tiered, you know, tight ends for the year. I don't know what his average is going to end up being.
We're in the second half of the year.
Where is Pitts ranked right now? He's number three. So,
well, he was number three last week.
Oh, yeah, they haven't.
But when you average all it together, yeah, he's pretty middle of the road. Okay. He had a lot of red squares here.
Yeah. So ultimately, I was like hopeful going in. Felt like I was going to have to leverage probably a trade. It's like, I know I'm going to have to let go of one stud to actually get a competitive team. But nobody wanted any of my players other than the two I wanted to keep. And I was just like, I can't do it. I cannot get rid of Gibbs. And I don't want to get rid of... I think Bigsby was targeted. I just don't want to do it. So, and Benson was the other one. But yeah, ultimately I am wondering, when it came to your draft and your season, because this was really a chaotic season for me, and you could accuse me of falling asleep at the wheel, being MIA, all the things, and they'd all be true. And they all affirm that I really don't deserve to be here in the playoff seat, let alone the championship. How do you feel about your entitlement, rather, and forgive me, I have a, speaking of the distraction of the fall, the 3-week-old that we birthed in the midseason is on my lap currently. And he says,
you said we birthed him. He was,
oh yeah, it was a teammate.
You were there. Yeah,
hey,
I don't know.
Hey, that the nurse said that umbilical cord cut was a thing of beauty and masterpiece. So how did you feel about your team post-draft and then midseason? Like, I really want to get at, do you, is it a humble brag nod that you're here in the playoffs or championship and you're like, oh, I don't deserve to be here? Or are you like me and you're like, well, truth be told, like, skin of my teeth, and here I am.
Sure.
Where are you on that?
No, I mean, like I said, 3 weeks ago, did not think I would be in this position. But I think that throughout the season, I had to adjust a few things. Scat came on and was so good, and then got hurt. Mm-hmm. You had Tyrann Tracy there, which was nice to have his handcuff. They started opposite of that, and then Tracy was Scatabu's handcuff, and then they switched again. So it was nice to have them. I had a lot of dead weight in my draft. Adam Thielen, I don't believe, is on my roster anymore. Rashad Bateman, Tyler Lockett, these guys had to go. But I feel like throughout the course of the year, I made some pretty decent pickups on the wire. I'm looking at my team today, and Alec Pierce, what a stud.
What
he
a
is.
Stud.
He, despite Phillip Rivers, continues to produce, save that 1 week against Seattle, which a lot of people have a hard time producing against Seattle. He's been great. So that was a great pickup. I've kind of made some moves throughout to cover for Evans' long injury this season. That was a struggle. But I think one of the best things that happened to me all year was Jakobi Meyers getting traded to the Jags, because that production went up significantly when he left the Raiders and went to Jacksonville. And just had to kind of play with it throughout the year. So did I expect to be here? Not really. Am I happy to be here? Of course. Did I think this past week in these semifinal games on, Sunday morning that I had any chance to win this week. No. This week I had Parker Washington, another ad off the wire, with 26 points on my bench. I had Romeo Doubs, who I pulled at the 11th hour, with 19 points. Yep. And I had Ramondre Stevenson on my bench with 17 points. That was a tough look going
Tell
into
me
Sunday.
About it. Tell me about points on the bench.
It really, really was. But again, another struggle I had down the stretch was Burrow when he came back versus Dart. And who was going to be the quarterback of the week that week. Yeah, and I flip-flopped him a couple of times. I believe last week, let me just verify this. My internet's going slow. Yeah, I played Jackson Dart. He had 24 points. Yeah. Burrow was on my bench with 5 points.
Good choice.
This week, flip-flopped those. Burrow was in with 32 points. And Dart was on my bench with 0.02 points, which looks a lot like my GPA my last semester of college. So it's just a lot of looking at matchups and trying to figure out what the best play is for any given week. And fortunately, I had some success with that down the line. And it just kind of worked out, you know.
Well, that's,
that was a brutal, for the Bean. Last night, I did
beat,
message him privately and apologized for how horrible that was with the long reception to Pierce. And on the subsequent play, a pick six of 75 yards by my defense to seal the deal. That was a really tough beat for him. So
that was
sorry,
that
Bean.
Was a bad, that was a big nail for the coffin for sure. That took
it
away,
really
like,
was.
Taking away the lead with a, I think it was a 34 yard pass. I was like, all right, that's a big jump. Instead of chipping away at it, you got the lead, and you know, with a handled play in the fourth quarter, right? Third.
Oh, it was the last meaningful possession of the game.
It was
the game.
Fourth, yeah. And then I had turned it off because I was tired of watching Christian McCaffrey chip away at my chances.
Sure.
But the that, and then, you know, in terms of the matchup itself, you and Brian, no disrespect to the remainder of our league and the tantamount knowledge across the board, obviously, but the two of you probably know more, at least from a college recruiting and stats standpoint and feeder, you know, into the NFL. The two of you share a common depth of knowledge that enables both of you to be able to play the strategy that you're talking about, and that is options. Like I look at my team, and you know, I'm not going to have the kind of start sit decisions pending a Pitts decision, which maybe that wasn't much of a decision. I just boofed it. But for the most part, I'm going to have
excellent use of the word boof.
Yeah, I'm going to have a really efficient manager ranking because all of my points are on my roster because it's real easy. You look at the percentage of starts across my roster, and they're all north of 70%. You look at my bench, and they're like, nobody even, you know, has these players on their team, let alone starts them. And so I'm not faced with the pinch of those decisions very much like you were. And I wasn't around to even make those decisions because I was kind of floating on a stud and dud opportunity. And honestly, where my life was with work and with baby, not that those are excuses for not investing in a very important community of mine, but I mean, evidenced by my lack of waiver wire engagement, that was not where my mind was at every Wednesday morning. And so,
I hear you. And I blew my last like $40 that I had in Fab on John Mechie a couple weeks ago, who I think I played once and did nothing, but I felt desperate. So there we were.
I do feel good when I realized that I didn't have to spend money and that I might make the playoffs anyway. I was like, oh, I've got an idea.
Cool.
I'm gonna buy my way through through the championship. This is gonna be great. So
yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Well, who do you think your best waiver wire ad was throughout the season?
I think it made the biggest difference in week one of the playoffs. Like during the playoffs, it's been largely defensive. Like I've been drafting guys that I've not necessarily been planning on playing. I look at the holes on the opponent's teams and look at what they can afford and draft the top rank if available of that position. Like it's not rocket science. But the, like looking back here at like the first week of the playoffs, my matchup with, Chris Windsor, who, if you are listening, Chris, which I would respect you if you even acknowledge that this broadcast was produced. I know that you and I are still friends, but in terms of the brand that is TNR, y'all aren't on speaking terms right now, and that's okay. And I respect the crap out of you, buddy. That being said, you were the week that
not to be confused with Chris Clark. No one respects him.
No, nah, Chewy is
throw that out there.
Yeah, yeah. Chris benefited from the week that I put or left or moved, excuse me, Pitts onto the bench. But in the same vein, I had picked up Franklin that week because Denver was going through their kind of injury and spread offense. Who are they going to kind of share committee their pass offense to? And I kind of rolled the dice because there were two options. And I went with Franklin, and it paid off that week. And that those 20 points in my flex made all the difference. That's the only reason that I stayed on top. Otherwise, I would have been playing one of my one, two, three, four players with a total of less than 10 points across those four players. That's who would have been in that flex spot. So you can imagine I would have lost with that one pick swap.
Sure.
I picked up Flournoy early in that as well, and he did really well for me 1 week or maybe two back-to-back, but I don't think...
That's the guy in Dallas?
Yeah. I don't think of them had as significant of a I'm still alive as the Franklin pickup.
Sure. Yeah, I'm looking at mine, and I think season on the whole, Parker Washington really carried me through a lot of the Mike Evans injury. So I would probably have to give him the first nod. But when it mattered the most, I think Pierce was my guy. I think without those two good dudes, I would have not been in this position. Probably in the playoffs at all. So
Pierce is like
hat tip to those few guys.
He is like, I expect him to be like on like Last Chance U. Like he's that kind of player who like is so young and looks like he like, just give me a chance, coach. Like has ground out his opportunity to start. And man, he looks so good.
Yeah.
He was such a pick.
He really does.
Yeah.
Really was.
Well,
that's great.
All right. So what about biggest regret, whether it be draft day or pickup, where was, and I don't mean just start sit decision. We've beat that dead horse.
Yeah. I think, I'm just pulling up the draft results again. The biggest bust on my team. It may be too soon, but JJ McCarthy, I only spent $1 on him, but good grief. What a roller coaster ride he is.
That's a dollar you can't get back.
No. Yeah, I spent $1 on JJ, or nine, as he likes to be referred to. I spent $1 on Adam Thielen. I spent $1 on Zach Ertz, who was pretty good through most of the year. $1 on Rashad Bateman. $1 on Tyler Lockett. I just feel like I could have taken those $5 and bought somebody worth something and then just streamed my bench spots off the waiver wire. Those all turned out to be tough ads, but... Really, I mean, yeah, it's probably a mix between JJ and my guy, Younghoe Koo.
Yeah.
Spent $2 on my kicker, who really sucked.
Yeah.
The whole year.
Yeah.
Like the whole year. Really, really sucked. That was sad. It was, because we have a long, colorful history, Mr. Koo and I. And it's over. And sometimes that hurts.
Oh,
how about you? I'm looking at your draft here, and you've got some candidates.
Yeah, I've got two.
Biggest regret.
Two come to mind. I paid a lot for A.J. Brown based off of his performance for the year. Hang on, let me grab a passy. Just a second.
Yeah. I'll just say while you're gone, A.J. Brown was not without some flair this year.
Yeah,
some of his locker room comments.
Oh, that's
and yeah, I'm talking about his chemistry with his quarterback in particular, but really came on at the end of the year. Had a couple good weeks sprinkled in there at the beginning of the season as well.
I definitely overpaid for his performance in hindsight. But Bigsby was probably my worst like cheap pick. He was a $5 that I shouldn't have paid $1 for.
Yeah, he had a tough year.
Yeah.
Very tough year.
Yep.
As a matter of fact, Yeah, I'm just looking. It was bad. It's very bad.
Thanks.
I was gonna try to redeem some in there for you, be like, well,
Yeah.
there was this
Well, that
bright
backfired.
spot, but no, that was really dog crap.
Turns out I agree with you. Wow.
Yeah, it turns out you're right. That's really horrible.
Yeah.
Really, really horrible. Really
Okay. All
horrible.
right. Well,
Oh man.
the turns have
Well,
tied. Let me ask you.
yeah. I mean, this whole game, this whole fantasy football game, we put so much time, we put so much mental energy
Yeah,
into
yeah,
it.
yeah, yeah. Well,
And you can spin around and around and around, and you can work the wire, you can draft really well. And at the end of the day, that's probably good for 25 or 30% of your results on the field. There's some gut intuition that go with it, and at least 40% of this is dumb luck. It's just, who's hurt, who's not, who matches up well, who doesn't, who didn't sleep good, whatever it might be.
yeah, whoever
But
committed domestic violence
I
these days.
think, well, listen, it's too soon for all that. What I'm really getting at here is I don't know that either one of us would have said 3 or 4 weeks ago that we would be in this position. That being said, what week of your season do you feel like you won that you had absolutely no business winning whatsoever?
I mean, Windsor doesn't want to hear me say week one of the playoffs. And so I won't. I won't. I could have, should have, would have lost that, but I had enough backfill that it still looked really strong and it was a part of my tear. So I'll go back to let's see. I had a couple of low scoring wins. Probably, my whole tear, like week 10, started with Peter. I won with 126 points. And Peter at the time was, average rank, I think. But was that was way below his average, and he put up his biggest goose egg of the year. And after that, my average point scored, with the exception of up against Bean, which was like 130 points week 13, my average points were north of 150, 160. I don't know what the actual average was, but I just remember going, and Windsor put it in our chat. I'd been scoring between 150 and 170 points, with one exception, since losing slash sorry, winning to Pete, but with only 126 points. The week before that, I lost to Brock with 122 points. So like, the middle of the season, lost to Fitz with 121 points. My middle season was ridiculous, very, very low. And that's why I said I definitely went on the hero journey of like, I feel really good and my team is tanking, to whatever reason, week 10 marked the low point of a turn that turned into a fiery run, which has brought me here. And so I don't think I had any business winning that week, and I shouldn't be in the playoffs as a result of the turnaround there, beating Chewy and kind of marching my way there. So what about you?
No doubt. Well, my whole arrival to the playoffs, someone smarter than me would have to confirm this, but I'm
I'm
pretty sure I
ready.
got in on a tiebreaker. Well, someone else.
Oh, sorry.
Someone smarter and better looking will have to
I'm
confirm this,
ready.
but I believe I got in on a tiebreaker, and a couple of weeks stick out to me. I'm kind of scrolling through them right now. I don't want to talk about week 14 when you smoked me by 30 points, but
That was not the game I was going to bring up, having no business winning, by the way. If
yeah,
you were fishing for that, I'm sorry I didn't pick up on
okay.
it.
I look back to week 13 when I was playing. You'll have to forgive me. I'm still trying to associate everyone's
That
names
was
with their team handle, but I think that's Pete, right? Yeah, Chase Jefferson and Brown, St. Brown. That's Pete.
Raymond Hessel. That would be Raymond.
His breakfast. Yes. I beat him by 8 points that week. I was projected to lose by like six, and he just had a tough week. CJ Stroud. Did not perform well, and maybe he had like an injury or something in that game. His big three receivers, were all good, but nobody was great. You know, Amon-Ra St. Brown was good for 0.00 points that week. He dropped the only reception or the only target he received that week. And here I was just kind of scooting along again with the 49ers defense with 19 points. Alec Pierce with 17 points. Travis Kelce woke up that week, had a touchdown for 15 points. Jacoby Myers had 20 points. Nobody really jumping off the page as being incredible, but in a week where Barkley only had 5 points on 13 carries for 56 yards, and JSN only had 2 receptions for 23 yards, I squeaked out a narrow win that really propelled me to the point where I had a little bit of cushion, because the next week, the dumber, uglier guy on this podcast beat me really well by 30 points or so. And then I make it to the first round of the playoffs. And, you know, have been performing relatively well ever since. And again, it's been a little bit of quarterback merry-go-round for me. It's just looking at matchups and, like I said, kind of the gut. Like, you know, is Burrow going to come back this week and play like he has anything to play for, or is he not? He's been in the media constantly. And people were questioning if he was even going to keep playing after this year. And Dart is a wild man. He's crazy. Throwing himself in harm's way on every opportunity that he gets. And, you know, you just got to make the right decision at the right time. But I would really say that that game versus Pete is probably the one that I snuck out that I really didn't have any business winning.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yep, I think that's.
But we can look in the rearview mirror for eons if we want. We could do a whole season of these podcasts about the season that was. But I think what we want and what the people all want to hear, is what's upcoming.
Let's thank Peter for being the whipping post that enabled you and I both to be in the playoffs.
Yeah, well, thank you, Pete. you're a
For me, it was week 10. For you, I lost the word. Was it week 13? Yeah.
You're a wonderful commissioner, and we appreciate you taking the L's to prop up those around you, making them look better.
Yeah. But you were saying, sorry, you had a great segue.
Yeah, here. I'm just saying, looking forward, here we go. It's the championship game in the league. Neither one of us had a real clean journey to get here, but here we are. How are you feeling about the matchup this week? How you like your chances?
You know, I did not mean this offensively, and I think you can forgive me for it when I said in the chat, like, man, I really didn't want to face Bean in the finals. But I was equally dreading facing Lorenz, you know, the number one team in our league.
Where's this going?
Well, because you had like said, like, ouch town population you, because I was like, oh, good, I get to play, you know, the 12 string. It's like, I don't think you can blame me when you and I both know that you, neither of us have any business. And so we get like this, you know, it's the opposite of like a committee based bowl game. You get the two that you would choose last. It's like, this is, you know, did the Navy and the Army game get rights this year? Are they going to be on TV or not? I don't know. Nobody wanted to, nobody wanted to pay for it. Tostito Bowl was like, nah, we'll pass. Like, so
the Pop-Tart Bowl, the Cheez-It Bowl, the Duke's Mayo Bowl.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So it's like, what bowl game are we at this point? Like, we're like the Depends Bowl.
You know? We might be the famous Idaho Potato Bowl.
We might be.
you get a jug full of French fries dumped.
Welcome
on you
to the preparation H Bowl featuring
this game feels good on the whole.
So
I didn't come up with that was Austin Powers. I can't take credit for that one.
It was pretty good on the spot. I give you credit. Now I'm glad to be here, but I don't think anybody was like excited about it other than the fact that both of us are now real contenders. Let's be honest. Like, we are we are unexpected and undeserved, but we are real contenders. And I think we can
stand
on
that.
And I think if anybody has listened to the episode thus far, that's the one thing we've said that they can say, okay, I got to give them that. Everything else is bull, but we're going to give them that. They are actual contenders at this point. And because of that,
standing here, I was going to say, we're standing here at the top of the mountain. And when I look up to the peak, there's nobody else there.
That's right.
It's going to be me or you. And I look down, I just see frozen bodies.
That's right. Now,
you know, back down to base camp.
We are not without some start-sit decisions this week. We actually have an interesting matchup. Let's take a look at it real quick. Let's do some diagnostics here.
Yeah, I was looking at this. I'm on my phone on the Sleeper app, and it hasn't actually populated where we can look at it head-to-head yet.
I don't know
why. It just pulls up the bracket, but I can look at my team, and I can look at your team.
It is Tuesday night at 9:22 p.m., and they have not it's got to be because it's Christmas and people are off, but something has gone wrong.
I think it's a setting, because my other league on the same platform has moved on to next week, but... That's neither here nor there. We'll send a note to the commissioner's office about that.
Yeah, he's crying his cornflakes right now. But the R matchup itself going into this week. What are you excited about? What are you nervous about?
Well, I'm nervous about which quarterback to start. As always, you got Dart against the Raiders and Burrow against the Cardinals. So I will have to think about that one. But honestly, I think that my team draws a pretty good matchup slate this week, to try to score points. When I look at the guys that really, have carried me through the season, the Eagles are at Buffalo this week, and Buffalo as of late, is feisty, but they're giving up points, and they're not winning every game like you thought they probably would. And Saquon, as of late, in the last few weeks, has really kind of come around to be not a world beater. But, you know, I'm looking at the last 3 weeks, RB7, RB12, RB13, 18 points, 17 points, 21 points. He's getting touches, and he's doing things with them. So I feel like he should have a pretty good week. I never feel bad about JSN. They're playing the Panthers on the road this week, who are kind of resurgent and looking like a pretty competent team all of a sudden, which nobody really probably thought was going to happen. But anytime JSN is on the field, I feel pretty good about that. You know, Jacksonville is hot. They're playing Indy, who I believe after last night is eliminated from playoff contention. And I believe that Phillip Rivers is going to be sitting, from what I heard on the broadcast last
night.
They're going to let
fast.
Yeah. Well, he got that other 5 years of insurance, man. He's good with his tribe of children.
He's got a dental appointment.
For a little while.
He's excited about.
He's got 10 dental appointments in the next couple weeks.
He's got caps. He's
Walks a whole day off with the doctor. Yeah. Get a good Saturday rate to get the whole family in there.
Yeah.
But I think that Jacksonville has something to prove. They've already clinched a playoff spot, and I could see them really kind of tossing it around and scoring some points this weekend. You know, Mike Evans is Mike Evans. The guy is so cool. I'm an A&M fan. I loved watching him when he was at A&M. He's a Hall of Fame wide receiver in Tampa Bay, and it's good to see him back and producing after that long injury this year. We'll skip over Travis Kelce. Man, the Chiefs are a mess. I don't know if there's any Chiefs fans in the league, but
it's like the tide went out and we saw everybody who's pantsless, man.
Gardner Minshew went out this past week and they announced that the next quarterback in line was, I don't remember his name, from South Dakota State. I said, oh boy, this is going to go south really quickly.
Like, did they call you? I got a voicemail. Yeah. I didn't answer it.
Yeah. But you know, the Rams draw the Falcons. Alec Pierce might be a sitter this week. We'll see. I don't know. I got Parker Washington down there. I've got Romeo Doubs, who had a nice week last week. I've got some options at that flex spot. And I don't know what Indianapolis is going to do this week. We'll have to do a little research on that. But yeah, I mean, I feel like I have some good matches or some good matchups with my players. And I'm feeling like, hey, you know, why not me?
Why not you?
Why not me? I'm feeling.
You didn't pull a Chewy and come in. You threatened to, but you didn't pull a Chewy and come
you
in.
You never pull a Chewy.
Obviously. Well,
if there's one life rule, don't pull a Chewy.
Unless it means coming into the league and winning it your first season. That's the one allowance. I think you might.
I could say things, but I'll choose not to. How do I find your team on here? I'm looking for your team here. Let's see, pull you up. There you are.
So
how are you feeling? You've got some interesting matchups this week as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of my team is my team, and that's what we're looking at. You know, Josh Allen is incredible. Like, he just turned it on, and he's been amazing, and he's had, you know, two.
But,
well, you know, you play a top three defense, he apparently folds like a chair. So, and Cleveland was not that. So, Texans, it makes sense because they somehow have become formidable this season, which is exciting. If you're into that,
that's in our next segment, which is titled "Why Houston is Superior to Dallas Fort Worth in Every Way Imaginable."
Okay,
we'll get there. We'll get
out of time. So the I don't think you want to go down that road, man. I know you're a native and you're not a trader
let's get back to
somebody
Josh
who
Allen
quit
and
following
what he's going to do
and kind of sort of follow the Astros once. I can't recommend this league and you of all of the namesakes
for the world, baby.
No, I was going to say
versus the world.
In all of the namesake earnings that you've amassed for Farquaad, I don't know if you want to add this notch to your belt. That's all I'm saying. So
all I want to say is I hope you appreciated the nod to Farquaad on my little team photo this year.
Beyond appreciated.
Got the Farquaad in the heart.
I hope our commissioner makes sure that he locks those in and doesn't allow anybody to change them. Okay. So, but to get to it, we've got Josh Allen up against Philadelphia this week, and I feel really good about that because at the end of the day, the Eagles are just a hot mess of hype, and they're going to fall apart. I believe it. So I think you're in trouble. I think you're in trouble.
All right. So what you just told me there is feeling.
I'm willing. Portion, do you remember what I said?
Feeling.
Like
so
when
the feeling is 30%, man, your gut.
Exception of the fact that, like I said, like Josh Allen kind of folds like a chair in front of a top five off or defense, and guess where the Eagles sit this week? So
I don't know. Do you have that pulled up?
Top five. Yeah, I think they're ranked five. I think. Mm-hmm. Let me see.
You think it's going to be good for you? So we'll go. Okay,
I'm
so
willing
Josh
it
Allen's going
to
score 100.
I'm willing
what,
it to
you
be
know,
good
what else
for
you
me.
Got?
I'm going to be standing on the shoulders of my elite studs, or I'm going to be scoring 120 points or less. That is my range. I can score 120 or I can score 165 or north and
nothing in between.
Nothing in between. And, you know, one way you're buying me a burger and the other way I'm buying you a burger. And I look forward to that. I look forward to that burger either way.
It's going to be a good burger.
Yeah.
I'm looking at your team, man. I, in other leagues, have dabbled in the Chicago wide receiver core.
Yeah.
Namely with Roma Dunze.
Okay.
And my problem with Chicago is that they are throwing the ball to everybody with two hands.
It's
hard to trust one guy.
You could streak on the field and be eligible downfield. Yeah, you could.
Yeah. So DJ Moore is another one. Boom or bust.
I got two, and that's the situation here. And so I have a the wide spot for me has been the biggest issue. You go look at all my pickups and streams, and it's just been trying to patch. Give me 10 points, 12 points, somebody for the love, a touchdown and, you know, 40 yards, please, like something. And that's kind of been the goal. And if I could do that across two of my three spots and do that without having to play two tight ends, although now playing two tight ends actually makes sense because I've got Pitts stepping up into the, you know, receiver spot, basically.
Sit Goddard, man. You already told me that Philadelphia is going to tank this week. So,
well, when they tank, they resort to the slot, you know, pass option. To play
so tight end check down. That's right.
Actually, exactly. So he's either ground and pounding it, you know, from a shuffle, or he's their first down guy. So he's my guy. I don't feel great about this week because I think the illusion of what I've been able to do has to regress to the mean, as Pete would say, eventually. And it may be this week. It really might be. Your team looks like it's on a trend that is different than mine, in that yours are predictable performances, whereas mine are. I hope this works out. I hope these positions fill, because like I said, it's a 40-point swing if my little dice roll duds, you know, pickups here don't work. So,
sure. Eventually. We both got some of that.
Yeah.
And, you know, if I'm going to be in the championship game in this league, I'm thrilled and honored that it's with you, buddy.
Well, I think I've lost more championship games than anybody in the league. I think I have gotten second place more than anybody in the league.
Always the bridesmaid.
I think that's true. I'd love the actual stats on that.
Chris Clark is good at analytics. He can pull that up for you.
Statistically, you are playing the odds well, my friend, to be playing me, the most likely bridesmaid in the bunch.
Yeah, we'll see.
Always trying to catch that bouquet.
That's right.
Having done it once, my redemptive season after a last place finish the year prior. So I did get to hoist my little 3D printed trophy above my shoulders once. And as long as I'm not hoisting the toilet above my head, I'm pretty happy. And honestly, just
safe from that.
Being an incumbent feels good enough to be like, yeah, I've had a good incumbency run
How do the divisions work here? Forgive me. Do they move around based on performance?
Yeah, if you make the playoffs or not. The challengers are those who don't make the playoffs.
I see. Yeah. About that. Yep. So do we have a 12th place Bullet Bowl trophy award winner yet?
It's a two-game determination.
Okay.
A two-week determination.
So it's either going to be Chewy or Fitz. Am I seeing that right?
Is Chewy in the last place contention spot?
I mean, he sucks.
Why aren't we spending the whole time talking about that?
We should.
That's the episode.
Let's look at, hey, if you've made it this far, let's take a stroll down Chris Clark's fantasy roster.
Let's do it.
Jordan Love, out.
Out.
Ken Walker, okay. Mm. Tony Pollard. Mm. Josh Downs. Wishes he could be Alec Pierce. Okay.
Okay, that's
Darnell Mooney, who is like the wide receiver 6 in Atlanta. DK Metcalf, suspended for the rest of the season. Mark Andrews, old as balls. Kayshon Boutte, irrelevant, and Boutte is what this team is. Calvin Austin, probably not going to play, also sucks. Alvin Kamara, out. Ricky Pearsall, got shot last year, also out. Garrett Wilson, IR. Olsen Loveland on the bench. Zach Ertz, IR. And Packers defense round out his bench. Chris, you suck. I hate your guts. I'm not sorry.
And his options are worse.
That was the whole team. That was the bench, too.
I know. He just doesn't have anything he can do with it either.
Yeah. His team is just like him. Worthless.
Man. Well, I don't know what he did to your mom in y'all's
room. We can't talk about it. Okay. Actually, funny anecdote. I love Chris Clark to death. He's one of my favorite people in the world. Don't tell him I said that. But I made a your mom joke to him one time, not knowing that his mom had just had a serious medical.
Yeah, that's about right.
I think she had a stroke or something.
We call it pulling a Farquaad, and that's part of the course. And
yes, the Farquaad thing came on the bourbon trail, and I don't feel like I can be held responsible for that. However, Chris made me feel really bad, so I'm still very, very tender-footed around mom topics as it revolves around Chris Clark.
Yeah. All right, well,
Chris Clark, beautiful human, hate his guts.
Let's help you help him, and let's zoom out a little bit and give you the chance, Franca, who, I got to admit, you are the first person to have been given this podium to the degree that it's been extended to you this evening. We've had plenty of
the podcast.
Yeah, we've had plenty of guests on the show. We've never had a co-host guest, and we did offer to Pete to come in and moderate our back scratching, bat packing, you know, general ego stroking that was going to take place regardless of his presence or not. But mm-hmm. he declined.
Respectfully.
Wisdom, yeah. And that being said, nobody has ever sat in the seat to have the time of influence that you've been extended beyond just a short, mm-hmm. you know, guest. And even then, I've got my hand on the censor button, sure. especially if it's Brock. And so my hat to you, my microphone to you, now you have the chance to play co-host and zoom out. And not just slam a bitter rival in the form of Chris Huey Clark, but let's look at the league overall.
This is your moment.
Let's spitfire this. I don't want to spend all night on this, but why don't you just give me like some rapid fire? Like I'm going to ask you a condemning question, basically like, who was this of the league? Who was the worst this or the worst pick of this? And you just need to like Freudian, you know.
And I've got to go fast.
You know, ink blot, top of the mind. Yeah, rapid fire to us, okay?
Okay. Yeah, I'll do my best.
So biggest draft bust of the year, team.
Just Young Wing
Koo. No. Name a manager. Not yourself or me.
Chris Clark.
And they can't all be Chris Clark. That would defeat the point of the segment. Okay. I'm trying to help you like use your opportunity to spread the love hate. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
Okay. I'm sticking with Chris Clark.
Okay. Yeah, like worst waiver of the year.
Maybe me. Or you, ironically.
Yeah, okay, move on.
I'll get that one to you. I think you kind of...
Worst trade.
How much money did you have left?
I didn't spend any money, and that was the whole point.
$200 left.
I didn't spend it. You won that one. It became strategy after it became necessity. Okay.
Sure.
Worst trade of the year.
Do people trade in this league? That's my indictment on that.
We are not...
Let me drop the niceties for a minute. The trading in this league needs to... upgrade. You don't message someone asking if they would be offended if they sent you a trade offer. Just send the trade offer. Hmm. Come on, well, people. Elwood FFL gets the worst trade of the year grade for me.
There you go. There you go. Now we're zooming out. That's
some love.
That's a 10,000. That's a 100,000 foot view right there. I'm sure that Brian would agree with you. He would also echo that with like, answer an offer, which I always did answer. And like a week or two later, be like, hey, man, I'm not interested in that. Like, stop.
I mean, I'm sorry. I know that this player's already on IR.
Yeah. Are you still?
You missed the weeks that you wanted, but, you know, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
Okay. What else you got?
Let's see here. How about like most out of touch? With like the perspective of their team versus the performance of their team.
Oh man, Chris knows that he sucks. I don't know. I've got an answer. Who talks the most?
That's the thing. Is that this is game, you have to know.
And I think that we have to give that to our favorite Hawaiian or whatever it is, Brock.
Okay.
At this point.
All right. So Brock, if you look at his season real quick, Brock ended up 9-5.
Not in the championship game.
Yeah. That's true.
Let me see if I can back this up with anything beside my, what's his team name?
He's South Boston Saints.
Who's Wave Rebel? Let's see.
Scott.
That's Brock's dad?
Yeah, and incidentally, my former baseball coach.
Oh, wow.
I guess current baseball. Once a baseball coach, always. Like, if he called me and told
me to
run a lap, coach. I would, yeah.
Well, Brock's dad, Wave Rebel, I'm looking at his team. He may get my new vote. Well, how did he finish on the year?
7-7.
CJ Stroud, he had the Nico-CJ connection.
See, that's Jaylen the problem Waddle. Is that we're, with the exception of Chewy, who, as you mentioned, sucks, we are all middle ranked. That was the issue, is that we had the tightest, you know, Squish Factor team that we've ever had going into the playoffs, as far as my memory is concerned. And yet we didn't have a lot of tiebreaker situations. Normally there's like a domino effect of tiebreakers that go into that. We just had a lot of middle rank, like average performance season. It's a weird schedule. We need to do some schedule analysis.
There was one tiebreaker that affected somebody getting into the playoffs.
Okay. So
peace and love, Brock. I love you, man.
You this think it's the Brock first people to reach out to me when 9-5, but you haven't backed it up yet. I've got a better answer.
No, I gotta find his team, South Boston Saints. Yeah, okay. Aaron Jones, David Jones and Monty. I mean, go to the used car lot and get better options than that. But he does have Brees and Genty. Genty, sneaky good, and I think he's going to be good for a long time. Devontae Adams, Debo, whatever happened to that?
Yeah,
Igbuka,
and Lamb.
He's going to be good for a long time.
Lamb was bust.
CeeDee Lamb? CeeDee Lamb?
Yeah.
He didn't draft CeeDee Lamb. Did he trade for him?
Yeah. No, he picked him
that
up.
Was good.
I had him at one point. No, I confused.
Someone dropped CeeDee Lamb? I don't think
that's
that
not, that's not right. I'm sorry.
He had to have traded for him. All I'll say is anyone who trusts anyone from the Cowboys to carry him to the playoffs is obviously
just not very smart. He should have known better. That's true.
Yeah.
So
heavy on the Tampa Bay wide receivers too. He's got Chris Godwin down there too.
And you're
Joe Mixon, that was tough.
It's a hard question when I'm saying do it based off of their chattiness. I think Peter's confidence in his team versus the performance and expectation of it. I think Peter deserves a 7-7 rank. His team was I ranked it early on.
Peter had the, how do I say this? I don't know. His girlfriend had the prettiest face, but the rest of her was just ugly. His wide receivers were unbelievable. And, you know,
well, that's
the rest
because that's
of that
all he drafted, remember?
Was very hard to watch. And if his wide receivers didn't perform, he lost.
Right. But when you only draft wide receivers and you don't trade them away to backfill your team and you think this is a plan, I don't see what he was thinking. I think it bit him in the butt. I'd like to hear some groveling from him and say, yeah, that was, I don't know what I was doing. But
to that end,
we
there may be a
that.
Reason he's not joining us this evening.
Yeah,
he knows
where he's hiding. Oh, it's
Christmas.
He
would ask us
I'm
hard questions
family.
And we would say,
yeah.
Well, let's talk about your draft.
Yeah.
Mr. WR1. I don't know. That's a tough question. I think the league was pretty competitive this year. I don't think anyone was way better than anybody else. And no one was really horrible except for Chris Clark.
Wow.
So, you know, it was a lot of murky middle and just seeing which way the dominoes fell. And it could have gone either way. Last night, even, both of us could have lost very easily and not been in this position. So grateful to be here. Yeah. Grateful for this league, too. It's been a lot of fun. I've enjoyed getting to meet everybody and know everybody a little bit. And I'm really enjoying it. So happy to be in this game with you. And no hate, all love from me for anyone that I just called out, except for Chris Clark.
Well, I
should stop saying his name.
His name is Chewy. I equally echo the sentiment of we probably shouldn't be here. No, we definitely shouldn't be here, and yet we are. Mm-hmm. And I'm proud of that fact. I definitely have invested more in the playoffs than I have all season long. But that doesn't mean I have earned any kind of spot to be here. And I respect those whose shoulders I currently stand on in the seat that I'm in, namely shout out to Windsor. Sorry about that one, buddy. Shout out to Lorenz. Great team, great season. Both of you guys, great teams, great seasons. And it was a scheduling fluke ultimately that led to my victory over you. And I will do my very best to make it worthwhile. So that you don't lose to a loser this week. Despite the fact that offline, Frank and I were discussing whether or not we go like Trojan style and pick our champion and drop everybody else and just say, all right, we're going to pick our kicker and that's all we're going
to play. One to rule them all.
You know, Brock has always said defense wins champions. We're going to just play defenses only.
There you go.
And we'll see how it goes and make this championship bowl as exciting as we possibly can.
Quick hitter, Seth, before we go. We've been on here a long time. Fast forward 1 week. The game is over. You've won the championship. Who was your MVP of that game?
Josh Allen.
Confidence.
Josh Allen.
I'm going to say for mine, it's going to be JSN, or it's going to be, it's not going to be Alec Pierce. If I got to say one, I'm going to say JSN. That's kind of the obvious answer. Saquon could do something too, against the Bills, who are going to shut him down. Biggest bust of the championship game. You've lost a week from now. Who are you never drafting again?
Let's see. Probably AJ Brown.
Could be. No. You're sticking to the Bills, beating up on the Eagles.
Yep, I am.
Travis Kelce is the obvious answer on my team.
Obviously.
I'm probably going to go Tyrone Tracy. Is he going to play? Probably.
I doubt it.
I don't know why he wouldn't.
I doubt he's in every.
He's going to retire after this year. So
that's the point.
He's
coasting.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. Well. Yeah.
No. Okay.
Let me ask you this.
Same question, but just in the form of final score. What is the final score this week?
Score this week. That's because I can't see your team in this app right now to look at matchups and stuff. I think that my total points this week land somewhere between 152 and 159. Mm-hmm. Will that be enough to beat you? I don't know. I think you're going to score
132.
180, or you're going to score.
Yeah. Maybe 124, 122, mm-hmm. or I'm 162.
Yeah.
That's the spread.
I think final prediction, you're going to win 161 to 158. I think it's going to be close.
Oh, that'll be a fun, close one either way. I hope it's close. Well, either way. I really do.
Yeah.
No blowouts here. And I would love to lose to you. Because I would love to go to dinner with you either way and hoist the trophy either way. Either I present you the trophy over that burger or you present me that trophy over that burger.
Sound it's like going to sit in between us as we eat the burgers.
Obviously. Yeah. A little bit closer to the victor. Just hardly noticeably closer, but yes. All right.
Absolutely.
Well, that sounds like a plan. How are you going to be watching this weekend?
Oh, do we have games? We got Thursday games, right? Christmas games.
It's a weird week. Yeah, I think they have a Friday game this week, don't they?
Yeah, they might. And probably there's Saturday games, too, now that college is kind of taking a back step.
It is a Saturday.
On Thursday, we'll have my parents here and maybe watch a little bit. I don't even know who's playing on Thursday. Just a quick peek at my team.
And the Cowboys.
Okay, so I won't have a whole lot going on in that game. In fact, I don't obviously think I have any.
But that game, the Cowboys are going to lose, so you can
players skip that. Thursday, and the Cowboys are largely an unwatchable product if you don't have any fantasy implications, so I will not take that one in at all.
Despite having an incredibly statistical quarterback this year. Go on.
Yeah, Dak. He was fine in Mississippi State. He's pretty good at Mississippi State.
He's pretty good this year. His stats have been, his offense this year.
Yeah, I just don't know what it is about the Cowboys. Why can't they put it together?
His name is Jerry Jones.
I want to put it out there in the ether. I'm not a Texans fan. I'm not an NFL fan. The only reason I pay any attention to it is to watch the guys that I watched in college and because I play fantasy and I like it.
Right.
But it is easy to hate the Cowboys, and they make it really easy, too. So thank you, Cowboys Nation, for another disappointing year.
The Broncos are going to spank the Chiefs on Thursday night, and that's why I think I'm going to go up on you this week early on.
Yeah.
So it'll be your game to come back on Sunday.
Yeah, maybe so. And I think I got some Monday
Well,
too.
Tell you
yeah,
what,
we got the
what
Rams.
Are you doing, what are you doing Sunday night? Can you come over?
And the Falcons Sunday night. Come over. What's Sunday? 28th. Maybe. I've got three young kids. What time's the game? Probably 7:30. I might be able to do a second half.
You can come over for the second half. Let's plan on it.
Yeah. We'll try to make it work.
Well, in the meantime, allow me to raise this glass to you, sir.
Mm. And to you.
It's got a little more. I haven't.
I got it.
Yeah. Sip save left. Some. I haven't. Haven't had a glass of bourbon in probably 3 months. So this one's for you. Cheers and congratulations to you, sir.
Likewise.
And I look forward to either beating you and holding that over you mm-hmm. for the rest of our friendship or mm-hmm. losing to you and always being reminded of it every time you ever see me, ever, always, forever.
Amen.
I love you, buddy.
Cheers.
It's the greatest fantasy football league in the world, and this is its podcast. He's Michael Franco. I'm Seth Martin. Thanks for tuning in, if you did, which we know you didn't. Good night.
Bye.